God has provided a lot of things for us so that we can go through this thing we call life and thrive. God said, I died for you so that you could have the abundant life. I came that they might have life and have it to the abundancy. And that doesn't mean having all the wonderful things of this world. What it means is I have created you and designed you to need certain things. You broke it all. You broke it all. Calm down, Tim. Okay. You broke it all, and because of that, now you don't have access to it, but here's what I did. I created a plan so that the access has been reinstated, and you have all of the things you need for love and good works, and I am going to give you those things. Please take them, won't you? And so we wander through life, and we find ourselves going through, and where do we go? So we're going to be seeing some things, and it's going to be on Psalm 16. And so this is an interesting part. We're going to read the passage, and we're going to take a look at some of the things, it's certainly not all, some of the things that we know for sure. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this in a second. We're going to read it through it first. Okay, whoops. I got straps hanging over the, there we go. Now I can see it. All right, preserve me. This is Psalm 16, the Psalm of David. Now, I'll give you a little bit of information ahead of time. This is the Psalm of David, and David had gone through some very difficult things. If you know at all the story of David, you know that he, in his earlier days, he was the shepherd guarding the sheep for his family, and that he had to fight a lion and fight a bear, and won because of the providence of God. And then he goes and he becomes king, and he gets, in the end, he gets chased by King Saul because David becomes even more famous than Saul, and Saul kind of leaves God's plan, and David's going to be the next anointed king, and so Saul's very jealous of him, and he's chasing him around trying to kill him. And so David has experienced a number of things that were really negative, and he had to rely upon the strength of God and God's providence and God's supernatural provision for him. And so most of you know the 23rd Psalm, another Psalm of David talking about those things. So here's another Psalm, knowing that David has gone through some very, very difficult times, and yet he's going to demonstrate to you the outcome and the things that he experienced personally, even when he was going through unbelievably difficult trials. Okay, so, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another, God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for I will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay. This is some of the things we've been given. We're going to look at this. Okay, so as Christians, what is available to us in this life? From this passage, and so here's, I got to explain this, a couple of things. So these are peace, confidence, wisdom, security, joy, and hope. That is not at all, or even close, to an exhaustive list as to the things that God has provided for his children in this life. Okay, but I'm going to ask you, and you can raise your hands and actually say yes. Are these important things for this life? Absolutely. Is there anything on that list that you would not like to have? Guess what? There's nothing on that list that you don't already have access to. Okay, so here's a really cool thing. I could keep it there. So, well, I got to mention this. We're going to be looking at the Psalm 16. We're going to be seeing how and where in that passage David is talking about those things. But what I'm giving you here, and it's going to appear later at the end of the sermon, because I would like you to write these down. peace. So these other verses that you're seeing are other verses in the Bible that are pretty much promises that I'm going to supply these things for you. Okay? So you can write them down, take notes. But we're going to see also where it appears in 16. But there's some differences, and I thought, man, this is pretty cool. How many of you have ever been asked to give a review online? In fact, it's. I think I keep getting this email saying it's National Leave a Review Month. Anybody else get that? Maybe I'm just a sucker. But anyway, we had done some traveling. We went to a missions conference in Florida. And so they asked me to review the hotel. They asked me to review the conference because you get this wonderful reviews. And when I was looking for those things, I would go to the reviews to see, okay, how did they review this in the past? How did this hotel room, how was it? Was it good? Did it get a good review? So Psalm 16 is something, it's like a five-star review of something. So these are promises, and God is saying, here they are. But then you can read Psalm 16 and say, this is a guy who actually went through some really tough times in life and wasn't just given promises, actually received the promises and was living them and is telling you, no, this is real life, folks. This is my five-star review of the promises of God, and I'm telling you they're true and they were in my life, and I'm telling you I actually experienced them. Now, how many of you would rather have talked to someone who actually stayed at the hotel before you just take the review for granted? Yeah, I mean, that's what the reviews are all about. I mean, you can go and get the ads, right? And they're willing to tell you just about anything. Not that the Bible would lie to you. But isn't it cool when you say, this is what Christianity is supposed to give you, and then you look in the life of someone next to you and say, man, that stuff's really true. It's life-changing. Look at how they're dealing with all these problems in their life. And so that's what David is doing in Psalm 16. He's saying, I'm going through this stuff. In real life, I'm going through this stuff, and here's what I experienced, and I want you to read my five-star review of God. So, peace. So, in verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Peace is something that's very fleeting. Peace is, and if you read the other verses that I've given you, which again, I'll give you that same slide at the end if you still want to write it down. God came to give you peace in this life. In this life. Now, does that mean that this life is peaceful? Absolutely not. Probably the polar opposite. But God says, I came that you would have peace. I offer you my peace. That you can have peace now. And peace is meaning that I can reconcile things inside of you so that in the midst of the storm, you can still feel it. And I believe that every human being craves peace. And peace, we would think, is lack of conflict, but it's not. It isn't lack of conflict. Now, it does say that because of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And that was the first step and the most important step, because otherwise I'm at war with God. And so having peace with God was the first step. But now he says, look, even in the midst of these trials, you can have peace. You know, and he goes on to say, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good hope because I have overcome the world. All right. So it's a good thing to have peace. So then it says in verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, for indeed I have a beautiful inheritance. He knows, and this is kind of what Chris was talking about, can we find peace by knowing where we're going later? Absolutely. But is that peace just for later? No, it's for now. If things get really rough here, I can start to think about that. I can think about the beautiful inheritance that God has in store for me that no one can take away. 1 Peter, right? Chapter 1. And so great news from Chris. You have an eternal inheritance that can never be taken away from you. And in that, sometimes we have to go to that, right? Sometimes I have to go there and just think about, oh, Lord, get me out of this place. Let me think about the next place because it's so much better. And so peace is available. Confidence. How about confidence? How many of you need confidence sometimes? Yeah. Things get hard. I can't, where am I going to find confidence? But instead of confidence in myself, which is mostly where we want to go, Where can we get confidence? So let's read this. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. So is David confident in his own ability? Man, he did some miraculous things. He slew the giant. He killed a bear. He killed a lion. He could protect his sheep. He became king, and he said, David has slewn his tens of thousands. And so has he got some skills? He evidently does. But when he's talking about going through the trial, is he relying on David's skills or is he relying on God? God, you are my Lord. I have no good. I have no good except for you. You're the source of the good in my life, and you're always there. You'll never leave me nor forsake me, he says. And so do I have confidence in the world around me? Absolutely not. I have zero confidence. Do I have confidence in my own ability to persevere and get through everything? No, I have no confidence. Do I have confidence in God? Absolutely. 100% all the time. Lord, my chosen portion and my cup, you hold my lot. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Real life now, real life, ask yourself, I'm in the midst of this trial, can I say these same things? Can I say these same things? Can I say, I've set you, Lord, always before me? I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Now, you know, I know it's a matter of perspective, but it's not hard to think that we're living in a time that's scary. We look around at a lot of different circumstances on which we have zero control. And we think, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the next 6 months? What's going to happen in the next 5 years? How is this country going to do? How is the church going to do? How are my finances going to be? What if the country goes bankrupt with their 37 or whatever it is trillion-dollar deficit? And I just got to sit down and say, okay, I'm gonna go to the backpack. I'm going to unpack this thing, and I'm going to go to some things that tell me, no, I don't need to be shaken. Because David said, look, I went through the storm, and I wasn't shaken because God was at my right hand. Confidence. But the confidence, just like the faith, has to be in the right thing. Not in your world. Not in the stuff. Not in yourself. I know as human beings, we try to put a plan together. We try to get resources around ourselves so that when something bad happens, we can take care of it. I've seen that. And I've seen, you've seen, Steve Jobs had all the money he could ever want, had all the fame, had all the accomplishments, but he couldn't keep from dying. We have a confidence, people, because we know that God is sovereign. We know that God is all-powerful. We know that God is working all things together for our good, that he has a plan for us, that he loves us even more than we can imagine, and he's always there. And we need that confidence, and it is there. Hopefully, you're unpacking it when you need it. Okay, the next one, wisdom. How many of you have ever asked for wisdom? I can tell you that this job puts me at the door of stupidity all the time. And if I was making decisions and acting on my own accord, I would be stumbling and falling all of the time. And that I have completely recognized that I have to rely completely on the wisdom of God. And so it is important. And it says, you know, it's there. The wisdom is there. Bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. So I believe we have the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to do a number of things. One of those things is to transform you into the image of Jesus. One of those things is to help you remember the things that you're reading in his word and bring them to mind when you need them. You make known to me the path of life. Now, does it say, you make known to me all of the incidents that are coming in my life? No, doesn't say that. So what do you think this means? You make known to me the path of life. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, I'm going to give you all ahead of time exactly what my plan is for you. But here's what You make known to me the path you want me to walk. And it's a path of faith. And it's a path of obedience. And it's a path that I can't walk on my own, that you're there leading me. And we saw that in the nation of Israel. It was leading them through the wilderness with a cloud during the day and a ball of fire at night. And David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the path for my life, David says. And guess what? You still give me counsel. My heart instructs me at night. And you're making known to me that you have a path for me. You haven't given me all the details. But I need to look to you for wisdom so that I can deal with the twists and turns and the bumps of life. And so God says, I am, you know, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And so we know that. And so wisdom is one of those things. And if you want to know about wisdom, go back and read Proverbs, and you'll find out how valuable, it's more valuable than almost anything else you can have, is wisdom. And so God says, it's in the backpack. I put it in there. You got to come to me and look for it, because your wisdom is worldly wisdom, and it's not going to lead you down the path that I've established for you. All right, next, security. How many of you, whether you raise your hand or not, you crave this one. You do. We are falling for it all the time. If you want to really manipulate someone, scare them. Now, was that going on? Is it going on now? Hey, man, we're going to use fear as a motivator to get you to do what we want, because you absolutely crave security. After 9/11, people were willing to give up practically every right they had. Just make me feel safe. It's an important part of the life we have. We want to feel that we're safe. We want to feel that somebody has our back. We want to feel that somebody's in control. We want to feel, and we'd love to feel, that that person that is in control, or that thing that is in control, actually has our best interest in mind and loves us. And that's what God tells us in His Word. If you want to feel secure, forget about owning weapons. I mean, owning weapons is a good thing. If you want to own a gun, that's fine with me. Or if you just, hey, I'm going to have a bunch of money in the bank and I'm going to rely on that and that helps me feel secure. Okay. All of those things eventually can fail you. If you want to really feel secure, put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ and God. You want to feel secure? Now, sometimes it leads me to do some things that are stupid, but I have this feeling of security. And I've shared with some of you guys some of the events in my life. And there came a time when I had devoted an enormous amount of my time and effort and money into a particular business venture that went bankrupt. And instead of making me feel afraid of the future, I felt a wonderful sense of security. Because all the things that you think, man, if that ever happened, it'd be like the end of the world. And the things that I dreaded happening happened. Not all of them, but some of them. God's got me. I'm afraid of next to nothing now. Because I know I'm secure. I know my relationship with God is secure. I know my eternal destiny is secure. I don't know how tomorrow's going to work out, but I know no matter what, God's got my back. He loves me, and He is completely sovereign and in control of all the things that are going on around me. And sometimes it doesn't mean that I'm not going to go through a trial. It's not going to be painful. It's not going to be scary, but I feel secure. Hopefully you do too, because it's in the backpack. Joy. Completely honest, this one was the hardest one for me. Hey, God, I know I'm in your hand. I know I'm secure. I know you got my back. I know where I'm going. I can go to you when I'm totally confused about what's happening in the world. But I'm not really all that happy about it. This one was the hardest one for me, but here's what I know. So here's what David is telling me. I went through what you're going through and worse, Tim, and here's what I found in my relationship with God. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices and my flesh also dwells secure. You make known to me the path of my life. In your presence there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Joy is in Tim's backpack if I just go looking for it in the times of trouble. And we'll go back and you can look at the other, some of the other verses and see that it's clear. I came that you might have peace. Joy is available for you all the time. Even in trials, we know from James chapter 1 there, consider it pure joy. Can I white out that one? I consider it pure joy, my friends, when you encounter trials of various kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so you can be complete and mature, lacking in nothing. God is telling you, and he's telling me, Tim, in the midst of problems, consider it joy because I have a purpose for it. So how can I have joy in bad times? Because I can know for a fact and have faith in the fact that God is using this to make me more like Jesus. And that's where real joy exists. And so I don't have to be bummed. I can accept it. I can know it's okay. I can say, okay, God, you're in control. But if I really want joy, I have to accept by faith the things that God is promising me. And one of those is that joy is always available. Be joyful always. And I always thought, be joyful in all things. Take that one out. I don't like it either. But no. It is possible. Joy is available. It's in the backpack. If you're walking through life and you have no joy, don't blame God. He packed your pack full of it, and you're walking around not using it. Shame on me. All right, hope. Basically, the whole thing. Hope for today. We talked about hope for tomorrow, and that was Chris's sermon. But we have this hope for today, and it's available, and it's there. So I went, if you go back, and when I was talking to the kids, I would say, I said there, well, how would you feel about the guy if he just didn't know? I mean, somebody just gave him this backpack and said, hey, whatever you do, don't leave it in your car. Can you bring it back to me? And I hauled it around the whole time without ever looking in it, realizing that the things that would save my life were in there. And how would you feel about that guy? Okay, well, I'm looking like, well, I feel really sorry for him. I mean, that's what a shame that is. And so that's how I would feel. You got to know. You got to know what's in there. But what about if I knew it was in there and I didn't go get it when I needed it? Then I'd say, well, I don't feel sad for you. I think you're stupid. That's what the kid said. So we need this hope, right? And all those things, the list of things that I'm going to get are in there. And so on the list is this list of things, and those are promises. The other verses are promises. And so how are we going to take advantage of it if we don't know what's in there? Okay, so his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us into his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so it's telling me that he has granted me these great and very precious promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. I can become a partaker of the divine nature if I am taking advantage of these great and precious promises, which I first have to know what they are. And so, you got to be spending a lot more time in the backpack, figuring out what it is that God packed in there for me that he's already given me. But here's what else you need to keep in mind. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. I am going to guarantee you that this list is in here. Look up these other verses. I am going to guarantee you that these are available to you in your life when you encounter things that you need help with. And here's what I'm going to guarantee you from the last verse that we read, and that is that Jesus bought these things and put them in your backpack with his blood. What a shame if we're not using them. Jesus paid a horrible price to secure your eternal destiny. Jesus paid a horrible price to make those things that God had originally designed you to have available to you again. You got to know what they are. But then you have to use them. You have to use them. So how does that look, Tim? What does it look like to use these things? How do I take my biblical worldview and apply it to the actual events in my life? You're telling me that there's this list and a whole lot more, a whole lot more. And so what do I do? You know, not that this is bad, but not this is bad at all, but I'm going through a real problem. Call the pastor. I would love for you to call the pastor. I would love to come. I spent the last day, a couple of days with a friend of mine who was going through some really bad stuff and needed somebody to come talk to him. That's one of the reasons why I'm here. But I'm hoping that you also, not just being confident that I can help you, that you're going to the backpack and you're unpacking it with the stuff that God's already given you. Amen. Right? So how do I do that? I'm gonna get into an issue, let's say, and something happens. What is my first response supposed to be? Take it to God first, pray, and then there's answers. And people, I remember questioning a pastor who at one point early on in my Christianity told me, all the answers to life are in there. Well, I've read it all and it hasn't told me yet what school I should go to. I'm telling you the same thing he told me. It's all in there. And so where do we go for our answers? You know, I've told you last Sunday, where do we go when we're trying to figure out the Christian's response to all of these social, political issues? And I said, where? The Word of God. And where do I go when I'm having trouble with a particular sin? The Word of God. Where do I go when I'm having trouble with relationships or trouble in my marriage or trouble with my job? The Word of God. Because that's where the answers are. That's the backpack. That's where we unpack the stuff God has given us so that we can experience the abundant life in reality. Man, I'm getting... Calm down. Okay. It's there. It costs God a lot. It's there in amounts that can never go away. It isn't when I need a bunch, you don't get any. There's enough in there for everyone. In abundance, all of these things that God has said, I have available to you, peace, confidence, wisdom, security, joy, and hope. I put it in your backpack. I paid a lot for it. And you're carrying it around, whether you know it or not. Because if you're a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit, he's got all of those things in there and more. And they are at your disposal. And he will help you decipher and pull them out of the backpack if you need help. First, though, you need to know what's in here. Second, you got to go here when you need it. I know this is I said this is all good news. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. But if I could share with you, if you sat me down and said, Tim, I've been a Christian a while, and I really, what advice can you give me to find this life that God seems to be promising me? And I would say two things: pray and spend some time in his word. But it doesn't do a good enough to just pray. We looked at that this morning. It was an interesting point in Sunday school. Peter, you know, was in prison, and the angels came and took off the chains and opened the doors, and off he walked. And he goes to this place where all of his friends have been praying for him, and he knocks on the door. And the servant girl, Rhoda, comes up and sees him. Oh, it's Peter, it's Peter. No, it isn't. Go away. No, he's out there. No, it isn't. It's just his angel. He's in prison. And so we learned it's not enough to just pray, right? You got to say, okay, God, here I am. I'm waiting for you to do something. And when you do it, I'm gonna say, yeah, woohoo, that's you. Well, what if it's not the way I wanted it to go? That don't matter. And so you got to take the word of God and you got to open it and you got to use it and you got to look for the answers for your life in it. And then you got to do what it says. That's a hard thing, but it is a very important thing. And it's going to tell you lots of things about what God has planned for your life. One of them is to become more like Jesus. One of them is to be a tool in his hands to build God's kingdom here on earth. But a lot of it is just, how do I live this life, God? I'm a child of God living in a broken world, and I still have some brokenness of my own. I need your help. And God says, I've given it to you. Please take advantage. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for the wisdom of your word. I thank you for the access you've given us to your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us understand your word. Lord, I know there are things you're asking me to do. One of them is to spend time in your word, trust your word, go to it for answers, and then obey the answers. So Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit works in us to understand this and to do it and take advantage of all the things you've already given us in this life. Besides just our eternal destiny, you've given us so many things, Lord, to give us the abundant life that is available even in a world that's completely broken. Lord, we need to take advantage of it, and that's some of that's up to us. So, Lord, I just pray you give us the motivation to seek you in all things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.